The Blessed Virgin Mary comes to the United States. She comes to a religious sister. She's asking for a national shrine to become a center of purity for the world and also a means by which to avoid nuclear disaster. Hello and welcome to MaryCast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, and we're talking about a very important subject, apparitions, which have been approved by the Church, according to Archbishop Raymond Burke, the highest canonist in the Church. And these are apparitions that call for an action. And during our segments, I'm going to repeat a couple key messages so that you can really ponder them. Messages of Our Lady talking about what she's requesting Catholics in the United States and also the bishops of the United States. And I'm going to go right to the transcripts, right to the memoirs of the visionary Sister Mildred. Let's go to the message of September 25th, 1956. This is the eve, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment as well. This is the eve of the Feast of the North American Martyrs. And Our Lady comes, and I'm going to read to you how Sister Mildred describes the circumstances and also the actual message. This is from her memoirs, and I quote, "On the eve of the Feast of the North American Martyrs, September 25th, 1956, as I was making the holy hour from 7 to 8, I was conscious of the distinct and special feeling of the presence of Our Lady. She stood by my side and spoke to me. I felt, rather than saw her, though I did see a part of her white gown and a small portion of her blue sash. I was under the impression that she came as Our Lady of Lourdes, and she herself confirmed this. Our Lady promised that great miracles, miracles greater than those granted at Lourdes and Fatima, would be granted here in America, the United States in particular, if we would do as she desires. These are the words she spoke to me at this time." So, tremendously important message, and she promises miracles, as we're going to see, miracles of the heart, greater than Lourdes of Fatima. Quote, these are Lady's words, quote, "I am pleased, my child, with the love and honor my children in America give to me, especially through my glorious and unique privilege of the Immaculate Conception. I promise to reward their love by working through the power of my son's heart and my Immaculate Heart miracles of grace among them. I do not promise miracles of the body, but of the soul." Our Lady appeared, Our Lady emphasized this very much. She is anxiously concerned about our inner life. She continued, quote, "For it is mainly through these miracles of grace that the Holy Trinity is glorified among men and nations. Let America continue and grow in its love for me. And I, in return, in union with the heart of my son, promise to work wonders in her. My child, I desire that this be known." The next morning, the Feast of the North American Martyrs, Mass had just concluded, and the community thanksgiving was almost over. There were a few minutes left when suddenly Our Lady appeared before me, enveloped in a soft glow of light. I knew with unmistakable certainty that this was she, though she did not speak immediately. What I noticed was the smile on Our Lady's beautiful countenance, and the lily she held in her right hand. She wore a white veil reaching almost to the waist, and a mantle and robe of pure white with not a single decoration of any kind. An oblong-shaped clasp or brooch held the ends of the mantle together at the top. It was all gold, as was the high and brilliant crown which she wore. Her hair and her eyes seemed of medium brown. Her feet were bare, but these I did not always see, as they were sometimes covered by the moving clouds on which Our Lady stood. She continued to smile. Then I saw her heart appear, encircled with red roses, the symbol of suffering, as it was revealed to me, and sending forth flames of love. With her left hand, Our Lady seemed to be holding up slightly the upper part of her mantle so that her Immaculate Heart could be seen. Then, solemnly and distinctly, in calm yet majestic tones, I heard these words, quote, "I am Our Lady of America. I desire that my children honor me, especially by the purity of their lives." She was very beautiful, and her smile held me. But I became conscious of the fact that the other sisters were leaving the chapel, and I too had to go as obedience directed me. I said to Our Lady, quote, please forgive me, Mother, but I do have to go now, or my work will not get finished, end quote. Our Lady understood, but she did not leave me. When I entered my room, she was there waiting for me. Then I noticed the green color of the lily stem in her hand and the white sash or belt which she wore around her. It seemed to be made of the same material as the robe. It was narrow, very narrow, and no ends of it could be seen at all. As I had to hurry about my tasks, I could not give Our Lady all the attention I longed to, but every now and then I would direct a gaze of love towards her. Our Lady stood there smiling as I had seen her in the chapel. All that day I was conscious of Our Lady's presence in a very special manner, in a way that was distinctly new to me. This is remarkable. We might say, well, how could you be busy about the work of the chapel when Our Lady was there? But you see, my friends, in the history of private revelation, that's the best test of authenticity, because they're not after the apparition. They're busy obeying the state of their life, and Our Lady understands that. On the afternoon of the same day, during the last half hour of the holy hour between 4 and 5, the Immaculate Virgin spoke to me at length in these words, quote, my child, I entrust you with this message that you must make known to my children in America. I wish it to be the country dedicated to my purity. The wonders I will work will be the wonders of the soul. They must have faith and believe firmly in my love for them. I desire that they be the children of my pure heart. I desire, through my children of America, to further the cause of faith and purity among peoples and nations. Let them come to me with confidence and simplicity, and I, their mother, will teach them to become pure like to my heart, that their own hearts may be more pleasing to the heart of my son. Our Blessed Mother called herself Our Lady of America in response to the love and desire that reached out for this special title in the hearts of her children in America. This title was the sign of her pleasure at the confidence our land places in her, and as a reward for its staunch and childlike devotion to her. Her children longed for this personal visit of Our Lady, whether conscious or otherwise, and in her kindness and mercy she responded far beyond all expectations. Though she came in this manner as a token of her love for us, nevertheless, Our Lady of America welcomes her children of all nations to her feet, for there will be found true peace. So she had given me to understand, and such are her desires as she revealed them to me. Our Lady, moreover, often emphasized her desire that the shrine in Washington, D.C. be made a place of special pilgrimage. She wished to be honored there as Our Lady of America, the Immaculate Virgin. After this date, I saw Our Lady frequently. She seemed anxious to impress me with the truth and importance of her appearance. My friends, a remarkable apparition. What does it say? It says that Our Lady honors our devotion, the devotion of people in America, to her heart, and especially the purity in their heart, and she wants to bring that forward as a grace for the entire world. But specific to this intention is that the shrine, the national shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., be in a special way honored and become a source of purity for our country and purity throughout the world. And as we're going to see, this comes with this request, a request that this statue, a statue made after the image of Our Lady of America, would be solemnly processed by the U.S. bishops and placed in the National Shrine. Sounds like a little request for untold graces, graces of purity, graces of the soul beyond that of Lourdes and Fatima. Incredible promise. Okay, stay with us in our series and our segments on Our Lady of America, because it's important that you and I be praying for this intention, be praying for our U.S. bishops to comply with the requests of Our Lady of America. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli at Miracast saying thanks. God bless you.